Father, Lord, we need that fire this morning. Lord, we need that presence. Lord, we need your hand in our lives. And right now, even, Lord, we pray that you would allow us to have our hearts and our ears open, Lord, that we might follow what you would have for us. And God, I pray that you would take this time and multiply it. Use it for your honor and your glory, so that there might be someone out there today that comes to know you as Savior, or grows in their walk with you, that we might show your love to someone else. We give you all the thanks. We give you all the praise, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. So yes, as you know, sometimes when you make a lot of plans, things don't always work out as planned. So our YouTube feed went down for some strange reason. But what we will do is we are recording the service, so we will upload it as a recording later on. And so those watching by YouTube can hopefully catch it later on during the day as well. This is not just, some things that we always know every little detail of how it's going to work out. And it makes it very interesting. Never boring, but always interesting. And so right where you're at this morning, will you take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to think about this. Where you are looking is where you are going. Where you are looking is where you are going. I'll never forget going through offensive line drills there in high school as, you know, we'd go out to practice every day. There were certain things that we had to do every day. Certain drills, certain fundamentals, certain things that we had to do that they wanted our offensive linemen to really be good and adept at. And one was the ropes. It was a dreaded drill every day. Because the ropes weren't just the fact that it was the ropes, it was the fact that the ropes were in sugar sand. And so as you stepped into the sand, you were going to sink. But yet the ropes were a grid of squares. And it was about, 10 to 12 foot long with different squares. And we had to run through the squares. And the ropes were probably about a foot and a half to 2 feet off the ground. And so the whole purpose of the drill was to get your knees up as you were running through it. And the idea was to make the offensive linemen be flexible and be fast and speedy. And they put it in the sugar sand, and these ropes were made out of bungee cords. So they were very unforgiving. If your toe hung one of those cords, you were going down in the dirt, and the guy behind you was going to follow and hit you right on top of you. And so as we're running through these ropes, the temptation would be always to watch your feet and where you were going. But right there on the outside of the ropes was the coach that was yelling, "Eyes up, eyes up, eyes up," because you had to know where you're going. If the offensive linemen are running with their eyes down, they're never going to be able to see who to block. They're never going to be able to see who they need to get next in their target. And they were teaching us, put your eyes up, because where your eyes are, that's where you're going to go. That's your direction. Last week we saw, as we were talking about walking by faith, that we need to have the eyes to see. And last week we saw as kind of the main thrust in what we see in the passage last week was that the power in faith streams from the reality of God. And I hope you caught the little wordplay there as we're streaming our service. The stream in our faith comes from the reality of God. And our faith is built on the fact that we have content that is 100% reality in who God is. And we put our faith in that reality, and we saw that faith opens our eyes. Now this week, in walking by faith, we want to see, where is our focus placed? Where are we headed? If we're going to walk by faith, then what is determining the walk and the direction we are walking? Because where you're looking is where you're going. We see this in Jesus, as he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Paul also echoed this in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth." You know, if you've ever been in a crowded place, you know that if you're going to be able to keep moving, you got to keep your eyes up. A couple years ago on family vacation, we were at Disney World at probably the worst time ever. Never, ever go to Disney World on New Year's Eve. And I mean, we got there. Our first time there that evening was New Year's Eve about 7 o'clock. Right after the first fireworks show, Main Street was packed. Nobody was able to move back and forth, and we're trying to move our family through to get through the park. If we would put our eyes down, you would lose sight of family. We had to keep our eyes forward, and if we're going to move through crowds, you got to keep your eyes forward. You got to keep your eyes on that prize, because without looking up, you're going to lose sight. If you're looking at the distractions, you're going to lose course. And so when we're in the midst of increasing crowded, the world that we live in is increasingly crowded, and it gets more crowded when it comes to our focus, when it comes to our jobs, when it comes to money, our well-being, when it comes to our families, our hobbies, our recreations, our sports, our education, our friends, our social media, our devices, our politics. When we allow all that to distract us in the midst of this crowded world, we can lose sight of the direction we're headed. To walk by faith means we need to keep our eyes forward. Keep your eyes up. Because where you're looking is where you're going. I want you to look here in Hebrews with me and see this and how God works in this. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see the hall of faith. And I want to start down at the end of the chapter in verse 32 and catch the end of the chapter going into chapter 12. The author says in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute and afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we see this coming to a climax of this hall of faith of Hebrews chapter 11. Where in this chapter you see these key words, by faith. And you see these different examples, these different people that stand out as doing these incredible things by faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses' parents, Moses, Rahab. They're all talked about in their faith. And the key verse is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So you see that by faith, we see these great, mighty things accomplished. And then as they lead through that, the passage we read, he says, listen, there's so many more that we could talk about. But he says, all of these. God has provided something better. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 12, verse 1 is that connection. Therefore, it's an emphatic position. Here is what we're to do with all this information. Here's what we're to do with all of these examples. Here's what we're to do with all these heroes of the faith. And the action is look and consider. Because where you're looking is where you're going. To help us fix our eyes forward, I want you to see what the text says we should do. And the first thing is to see the examples. See the examples. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He says there, I want you to see the example. See this great cloud of witnesses. He says, you're surrounded. Now, the picture the author is giving to us here is a very athletic metaphor. He's talking about a race. And so when we see that this metaphor is describing this idea of being surrounded is really kind of the idea of being surrounded in a coliseum, in a stadium. Can you imagine as the players on the field and feeding off of the hometown, the crowd that's around them. I'll never forget going to the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day years ago. Peyton Manning was playing for the Volunteers of Tennessee, and Eddie George was playing for Ohio State. And as they were playing, it was amazing to hear the crowd in this college atmosphere. If Tennessee scored, the Tennessee crowd would just strike up and begin to sing Rocky Top Tennessee. And the sound and the echo of all these spectators watching, seeing everything that's going on. There's something about being surrounded by witnesses that elevates the game. One of my greatest sporting achievements happened my senior year of high school because I was a part of the National Honor Society, nonetheless. We were holding a fundraiser at our school, and the fundraiser invited former Florida Gator football players to come play this fundraising basketball game at the school, and they had different groups that would play them for a quarter. And so the Honor Society got to play these former extremely athletic college football players. Several of them went on to play in the NFL. And so they come walking in, and so who do they want to play? They want to play the nerds. And as we were playing them, I was one of the few that from the Honor Society that had some basketball experience. And then you walk on the court, and you're standing next to guys like Shane Matthews, who is a quarterback at University of Florida. He played for the Chicago Bears. You had guys like Rydell Anthony, who was a wide receiver that played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Willie Jackson, wide receiver that played for the Saints and the Cowboys. And you're walking on the court and you see these big guys, and you've got these athletic guys, and they are witnesses to all this. It elevates your game. And I was in the zone. I was able to hit two three-pointers. The crowd was going wild in my mind. It was amazing. Why? Because I did not want to put on a bad show in front of these really athletic guys. These witnesses that were surrounding. I wanted to elevate my game. Here this writer is telling us, we've got a great cloud of witnesses. They're around us, so it should elevate our game. See the examples that are around us. These witnesses are referring to chapter 11 and that hall of faith. And the idea of a witness, especially in scripture, is very important. When it comes to a testimony in the court of law, there had to be two witnesses before charges could be brought against. It was very important. So not only are there not just two, but there is a great cloud of witnesses to give this testimony. But the thing is, what are they witnessing? Are they surrounding us as a jury? Judging us? No. They're surrounding us as a cheering section. They're surrounding us as a great cloud of witnesses that's saying, I lived by faith and you can too. I did this and you can too. I lived by faith. Abel lived by faith. Enoch lived by faith. Noah lived by faith. And you can too. They're witnessing to living by faith. It's a cheering section. Because a cheering section and a jury both can be motivating. But right here, the cheering section is saying, come on, you can do this. And it's important because in verse 40 of chapter 11, we see, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. In other words, they're not getting some different reward. They're getting the same rewards that we're going to get. They're not going to be made perfect without us. We're not left out. They are in the group with us. James also talks about this when he speaks of Elijah. He was a man with like passions, just as we are, but he lived by faith. Here's the cheering section saying, we did it. You can too. Here is the great cloud of witnesses. And it shows us that God uses the faithful, not the faithless. That's why he says in 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. When you don't know where you're headed, look at the example of Abraham, who went out not knowing where God was leading him, but trusted him. When you obey God instead of doing your own thing, look at the example of Abel, who offered the better sacrifice. When you are tempted to choose sin and pleasure over God, but you stick with God and you choose God, look at Moses, how he didn't accept the pleasures of sin for a season. Use these examples to be encouraged that I can live by faith. And use these examples to be an example. Don't let the example of walking by faith end with you. Teach others also. This is why there's older and younger generations both needed in the church. The older generations that have walked through situations, who've lived by faith, are needed to show an example and teach and be in the life and mentor our younger generations so that they can see how to walk by faith. So when you're older, don't step back. Get involved. You can teach a children's Sunday school class. You can come along and help with the youth. You can help with the young adults to help them see how to live by faith. It was interesting. I was watching a little bit of a documentary on a football family called the McCaffreys. Ed McCaffrey was a wide receiver for the Denver Broncos who won a couple Super Bowls with John Elway. And he was always known for being a hard worker. And he had four sons. And one of his sons right now is one of the best players in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey, a star running back for the Carolina Panthers. And his sons were talking about watching their dad. And one of their sons, Max, was also a wide receiver. And he said, I studied my father because I moved just like him. Isn't that something to think about? We all need examples to follow to show us how it's done. And we don't need to stop being the examples. But to continue on to say, well, this is a great cloud of witnesses that said, I did it, and you can too. See the examples. The second thing is see the prize. See the prize. There in the second half of verse 1, he says, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He says, let us lay aside and let us run. He's using a race metaphor here. But thankfully, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not about how fast you are. It's about reaching the end. It's about reaching the prize, finishing the goal, laying aside the weights. We know that athletes in this day and time would strip themselves, that they would have nothing for resistance. Any weight would create drag. And we see it explained here. What are the weights? It's the sin which clings so closely to us. The idea of clinging so closely here, it's bringing about an idea of being easily distracted. Do you know how that is? And when just when you feel like you're getting a leg up, and just when you feel like you're moving in the right direction, all of a sudden shiny object comes along and easily distracts you. The sin that clings to us, that so easily distracts us. He says, lay it aside. Think about those things that take you away from Jesus, because what takes you away from Jesus will keep you away from Jesus. And running for distance, it takes endurance. And that endurance is because we understand the goal. That's why he said in verse 40 of chapter 11, since God had provided something for us. Don't grow weary running in this world, because there's something better coming. Don't grow weary in walking by faith, because there's something better coming. Psalm 73 is a beautiful picture of this. The psalmist says, when I look at the wicked and I look at their prosperity and how they just everything seems to go right, and I wonder what's going on. He said, then I come into the sanctuary and I understand their end. I'm going to draw nigh unto God. I'm going to draw nigh unto him. See the prize. See that God has something better prepared for us. See it as a reality. Because you won't see the prize if you're distracted by the peripheral. If you're distracted by the side things. Remove the distractions. Listen, Jesus is not going to lead you to something that's going to take you away from him. Think about it. And to remove and to lay aside these weights and to lay aside these sins which hinder us in this run, it takes evaluation. You have to think about it. Is it taking you away from Jesus? Does it make you compromise your beliefs? Does it make you compromise Scripture? And just flat out, is it sin? Is it against God's direction? And if so, it's a weight. It can be put aside. I don't care how gleaming and glaring it looks to be in our life. It'll only distract you from the real prize. Evaluate. What am I focusing on? Am I focusing on the prize? See the prize of something better that God has prepared, and see it as 100% reality. See the prize. And then thirdly, see the perfecter. See the perfecter. That's verse 2 of chapter 12. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus. The idea of looking here in its tense and this verb is the idea of constantly looking. Constantly looking. Don't just take glances. Don't take glances and then go off looking at the distractions. I know some of you think that you can do that and drive, but you don't do it very well. Don't let the side distractions keep you from the main focus. Don't just glance at Jesus. Make it a constant focus. Why? Because he's our founder. He's the author of our faith. He's the pioneer of our faith. We can have faith because of Jesus. He's that content, that 100% reality of the cross, of the empty tomb. He's that perfecter that is the initiator of our faith. We can have faith because of Jesus Christ. And he's the perfecter of it. He's the finisher. He's the completer. He makes it perfect. It's that picture there of John and when he's getting the vision of the throne room and he's looking around and he sees that scroll of redemption at the right hand of God. And in that scroll is how this earth, how we can be redeemed. And he's looking around. He says, there's no one capable of opening that scroll. There's no one worthy. And he begins to weep. And then the angel touches him and says, no, wait, look up. Because through the crowd, here comes the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here comes the one that is worthy. The one with the nail scars in his hands, the marks of redemption in his side and in his feet. Here comes the perfecter. Here comes Jesus Christ. Here comes the one that can open the scroll of redemption, who can do what we cannot. Keep your eyes on him and weep no more. Look to Jesus. You see, we look to Jesus because he is better than all the examples. You see Abel, you see Enoch, you see Noah, you see Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, you see Moses and his parents, you see Rahab, but yet it is Jesus that we put our eyesight on, that perfecter, that completer, because he is better. He lived by faith. Philippians chapter 2 tells us how he emptied himself and he lived in obedient faith, even to the point of being obedient to death. He completed the work the Father sent him to do. He's the sole object of our trust, our only hope of salvation. Focus on the perfecter. Focus on the perfecter to power through those problems. When we're tempted, focus on Jesus. When you're hurting, focus on Jesus. When you're abused, focus on Jesus. When you're guilty, focus on Jesus. When you're weak, focus on Jesus. When you're mistreated, focus on Jesus. When you're wronged, focus on Jesus. When you're lonely, focus on Jesus. Because in verse 3 it says, consider him. Consider, take it into account. Pay attention, by all means, take it into account. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So that you'll have strength when you feel weak. Take into account Jesus. Consider him, because he did that. He endured that. He struggled against sin for our sake. And not only to take our place, but also to be that example. For us to follow in his steps. That pattern for us when we are weary. Remember, where you are looking is where you're going. See the perfecter. You know, walking by faith is a walk that is focused forward. It sees the examples, the witnesses. It sees the prize. It sees the perfecter. And we keep our eyes fixed forward, and it keeps us moving forward, because a forward focus forges faithful followers. Forward focus forges faithful followers. A forge is where you heat metal. You take something unbendable and make it bendable. You take something hard, you're making it soft. And through the forge, the blacksmith can beat it upon the anvil to form it to where he needs it to be. You know, if we bypass the examples, if we keep the weight of sin and we keep those distractions, if we shut out the perfecter, we remain that hard piece of metal. But if we see the examples, if we allow ourselves to continue to grow in Him, if we see the examples before us, if we see the prize that is laid out and we run with endurance, if we see that perfecter, we allow our lives to be placed into that forge so the Master can form us into something beautiful. When we do that, we're forging forward. We are focusing on that which will last for all eternity, much more than just the here and now. In 1914, Thomas Watson took over a company called the Computing, Tabulating, and Recording Company. The company was failing, and it's a company we don't necessarily remember today because Thomas Watson changed the name. Maybe you know the company IBM. And as Thomas Watson took over this company, he noticed that there was a lot of employees that were struggling with low morale. The company just looked like it was heading in the wrong direction. And he had to change the outlook of the employees to change their output. He began to place slogans everywhere. Some of his famous ones were, there is no such thing as standing still. We must never feel satisfied. We forgive thoughtful mistakes. But there were five key words that he would use all the time. Five key words: read, listen, discuss, observe, and think. Read, listen, discuss, observe, think. You know, maybe at this juncture in your life, as some things have slowed down, as some things have paused in your life, due to all that's going on around us, it gives us the opportunity maybe to read, listen, observe, discuss, and think. And maybe this is a great opportunity for us to think, where is my focus? How am I focusing on Him? This morning I want to ask you, have you first directed your eyes to Jesus? Have you first placed your faith in Him, trusting in Him and Him alone for your salvation? Because as you look forward in your life from where you are going, there is a question that always pops up. What's next? What's next? You know what? I am working forward. I'm moving forward in my life and I'm going to have this part of my career. What's next? What happens after that? Well, then I'm going to retire with this great pension and I'm putting all this aside and I'm going to have a great retirement. I'm going to travel. What's next? I'm going to spend my life in peace. What's next? Because there's coming a day and an hour in which we're going to pass from this life. But through Jesus Christ, we can still have eyes forward. That we can know that we have the Son and the Son has given us life. Have you placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ this morning? Because if you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you want to place your trust in Him this morning, it only starts with just admitting, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. I can't do this on my own. I can't fix these mistakes. And then you believe that Jesus Christ came and that He took your place on the cross, that His blood was the payment for those sins. And you believe that He rose again on that third day. And the empty tomb testifies that that payment's been made. And you believe in that with your heart. And then you confess with your mouth. Jesus as Lord. You ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life, to be your Savior. And this morning you can do that right where you're at. That you can trust Jesus. Put your eyes on Him. Put your eyes forward. And trust that perfecter. And this morning, if you know that perfecter, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this week, how about we think? How about we look at our lives and evaluate our focus? What are we looking at? What is distracting? What distractions are in our life that are taking us away from Him? What do I need to remove, to set aside, so I can keep focusing towards the perfecter, so I can keep focusing on that prize? Folks, we should not go through this time and not come out less thoughtful. We should not go through this time and these sacrifices and these things that we're going through and come out unchanged. But take this time to think, what do I need to lay aside? So that I can focus on the perfecter. Maybe you just need to list it out. Here's the distractions. Here's the things in my life, the sins that I need to work on to get rid of. Here's the prize. Here's the goal. Here's what I need to add in my life to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Maybe you need to read His Word so you can know Him better. Maybe you need to learn something new about Him so you can continue to grow. Maybe you need to share His love so that someone else could see and you could show your love for God. Remember, where you're looking is where you're going. Let's keep our eyes up. Let's keep our eyes forward. And let Him forge something faithful in us.